Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and almost lost in the Inauguration Day news coverage was Governor Cuomo announcing what's being described as a doomsday budget if the state of New York doesn't get a lot of new aid from Washington. According to the New York Times summary, the doomsday budget scenario would cut about $2 billion from funding for schools, $600 million from Medicaid, and more, and it would raise income taxes up to 2 percentage points on the wealthiest New Yorkers, those with taxable incomes of $5 million and up. We'll talk about that and the state running out of COVID vaccines and opportunities for the new Democratic Party supermajority in the state Senate with the Senate Majority Leader now, Andrea Stewart Cousins. Her own Westchester district covers the Hudson River towns from Yonkers to a little north of the Tappan Zee Mario Cuomo Bridge, and east through Scarsdale, White Plains, and towns to the Hutchinson River Parkway. Leader Cousins, always a pleasure. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's always good to be with you.
Can I start with the inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Some of your reaction yesterday, personally and politically?
Well, I think, it was just a relief. It really was. I exhaled, and I do believe so many people around the country and around the world exhaled as well. It was amazing reaffirmation of what our values should be, what our ideals are, and I believe it was just, obviously it was very unique because of the situation that we are in, but still, the cohesive message of unity, of rebuilding, and again the reaffirmation, and of course the incredible sight of seeing the very first woman vice president get sworn in, first woman of African descent, of South Asian descent, and I felt like I was walking down that Pennsylvania Avenue with her, and I'm so sure so many people kind of felt that. And then this amazing poet laureate who just I think blew everybody away with her wonderful poem at only 22, being able to capture in everything, in her essence, in her words, and in the magnificence of even that yellow jacket that she wore.
Yeah.
the sun finally rising on what should be and could be the greatest nation in the world for all to kind of take a look at and follow. But obviously we've had our issues. We will have our issues. But, I think these are ideals worth fighting for. So I was very, 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 very relieved by it. And also, just kind of briefly, we talked about Dr. Martin Luther King, because we celebrate King Day, and so I offered a resolution on King Day and just kind of tying in the fight that King had for all these rights, including our voting rights, and how the hope and the promise and what he fought for and what actually happened was manifested in the election results, and certainly the participation of African Americans to the point where, we do have a new day dawning. So it was quite a day.
You mentioned the poet Amanda Gorman. I should tell our listeners, of course, yes, everybody was blown away by her and her poem. And because of that, we're going to re-air the full poem at around 11:30 this morning. So listeners, heads up, if you want to hear it again. And we have a very special guest to discuss it with, the poet and essayist Elizabeth Alexander, who did the reading at Obama's first inaugural, a similarly poignant moment, and she's now head of the Mellon Foundation. So Elizabeth Alexander joining us at 11:30 to listen along with the rest of us and then discuss the full reading by Amanda Gorman from yesterday, which we will re-air. We are with Andrea Stewart Cousins right now, the New York State Senate Majority Leader. On what you just said about the resolution pertaining to King Day and everything that's going on in the country. A resolution is kind of an expression of a sentiment. It's not a bill that enacts something into law. So is that what you proposed? And what concretely are you doing with this new Senate supermajority to advance voting rights and racial justice in general?
Yes, well, the resolution is something that we offer every year because it's just an important acknowledgement of the work that Dr. King has done. So no, it's not legislation, but it definitely is a sentiment that we continue to adhere to. But every year, Brian, since I've been the majority leader, I have begun the session with some, again, reaffirmation of voting, some enrichment of the enfranchisement, because, you know, we pay homage to how we got there. So this year was no different, and it was part of looking at the elections of November, et cetera, and the fact that we were still counting absentee ballots long after, other people had finished. So we passed legislation that would allow for the counting of ballots in the same way that we count the mail-in ballots. And so that will ease up a lot of the suspense. We'll be able to start counting our absentee ballots sooner. Just so your listeners know, we weren't able to do that until about 7 days after election day. So that's going to be changed, as well as the absentee ballot drop box, making sure that there will be absentee ballot drop boxes in secure locations that will be more accessible to people. We also we want to do a constitutional amendment. We, for the very first time, had this mail-in no excuse kind of absentee voting, but it is actually an amendment to our Constitution that has to happen. We were able to do it because of COVID and passed sort of temporary legislation to allow pandemic to allow for the mail-in voting. We want to see no excuse mail-in voting as part of what we do, and so we passed it last session. It's a constitutional amendment change. It's a constitutional change, so you have to pass it in two consecutive sessions. So we passed it a second time this session. It will then go to our voters in November, and if they agree, which I do hope they will, that we should have mail-in, no-excuse absentee voting, mm-hmm. It will become part of what we do in this state. So we are continuing to press to make sure that people are able to vote in New York and exercise their franchise.
Very good. New Yorkers, we can take some phone calls for your state Senate Majority Leader, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, 646-435-7280. Call your senator, 646-435-7280. Call the Senate Majority Leader, 646-435-7280, or tweet a question at Brian Lehrer. In light of what happened at the Capitol and the muted response by law enforcement there, at least at first, there's a question nationwide, obviously, about extremist and white supremacist people with those leanings within the ranks of our law enforcement. Are you concerned about that? And if so, what can legislators and other public officials do to root it out to the extent that it exists, if it does, in New York?
Yeah, well, we obviously have to be concerned. And, it's part of, I think, our majority's thrust since we've been in the majority of taking a look at a lot of the systems and the policies and the practices. And quite honestly, so much of the opposition in our last election, which I'm happy to say in most cases were overcome, but part of it was because we have done so much, whether it's bail reform, whether it's police reform, after the tragic murder of George Floyd, New York State was probably the first in the nation to pass comprehensive police reform bills, saying, okay, fine, there don't seem to be any boundaries as to what you can or cannot do. So let us start giving you some boundaries. So no, you can't do a chokehold. No, you know, there will be an investigation if there is a police-involved shooting and somebody dies, regardless of what. Also, that we'll have in the Attorney General's office a special investigation office. You know, a lot of the inquiries into police affairs are done by internal affairs. So you have police looking at police, and, you know, we think that's not really adequate. So there'll be a special investigation unit within the Attorney General's office that says if there is a question about police misconduct, you could do your internal affairs investigation, but we are going to do it in the state. So, and as well as, of course, the 50A repeal, which allows for the disciplinary records of police officers to be seen, because up till the time we passed that law, whatever, if somebody had been accused of excessive force 20 times, you would not know, the public would not know. And so much of what had gone on remained undercover and, of course, could continue to go on. The other thing that's happening, and this was part of what the governor had talked about when we did those police reforms back in June, was the need for the different localities to work with police, with community, in order to reshape, in some cases, the way policing looks, and to come up with some sort of comprehensive, approach to policing that is community involved and community oriented, or else, you know, risk not getting funds from the state. And we're not finished. I mean, there has to be an opportunity for us to weed out, you know, extremists and people who are somehow adhering to a philosophy that has nothing to do with public safety or public protection. Mm-hmm. And so we as a legislature will continue to do what we have to do, even though it's critiqued and there's huge pushback. But again, that's so much part of what this King Weekend is a reminder of, that you will get pushback when you're trying to make the kinds of changes that require serious rethinking and justice to be served. So we're prepared for that.
Boy, in a time when every day feels like a week in the news cycle, yeah, Martin Luther King Day was this week, right? It feels like, remember back on Martin Luther King. Lorraine,
I know.
It was Monday. It was 3 days ago. Lorraine in Brooklyn, you're
it's
on
so,
WN. Go ahead, leader.
Go ahead.
No,
I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. Lorraine in Brooklyn, you are on with Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins. Hi.
Hi, Speaker Cousins. I'm calling to ask you about your position on the millionaire's tax. Governor Cuomo in his budget said if the federal government did not invest, then he would allow or consider the millionaire's tax. At the same time, he has withheld 20% of the budget from CUNY, which has resulted in layoffs of part-time faculty and staff, growing class size, and concerns about investing enough in health and safety to make it possible for faculty and students to return. It seems to me that inequality is still extraordinarily high, and the millionaires have made a fortune during this terrible crisis. So I'm wondering what your position is on the millionaire's tax.
Thank you, Lorraine. I've made it quite clear that I know we are in a terrible situation. Clearly, we are in a terrible and critical situation. And New York is poised, quite honestly, because of the wonderful asset of so many people who are able to help in rebuilding New York and getting out of this economic crisis to do so. And so I have been supportive publicly of taxing, our millionaires and billionaires, because we're in a place where, again, we can reset in terms of our priorities, and also because we're community and we are in an incredible difficult situation. And, you know, we just cannot balance the budget on, you know, working people and poor people. When I say working people, I mean middle class, you know, working people and poor people who have already experienced so much pain as it relates to what's happened around COVID and all of these other things. At the same time, I spoke to the governor about this, and, you know, he's made it publicly too. At the same time, I believe that there is a responsibility of our partners in the federal government to take a look at what has happened in New York and to take, you know, some responsibility without evoking, you know, the former president. But the reality is that, you know, so much of the crisis that we are experiencing is because of the mismanagement around COVID. It's because of the tax reform that took away, you know, the ability for our people to deduct, you know, a whole lot of taxes that we were able to deduct before while giving it to other states. We've been a donor state, et cetera. All that being said, the federal government has to help, should help. We expect them to help. But meanwhile, we also know that the rich are getting richer, the middle class is shrinking, the poor are getting poorer. And New York is in a position to kind of reset and, you know, just require more from those who can pay more. So I'm perfectly supportive of that, and I think the governor is aware of that, and we are, you know, going to try and make sense of how we go forward, and hopefully the federal government will also do that while they give us the resources that we need in order to get out of this hole.
Well, the caller's premise was that the governor opposes a tax increase on, you know, millionaires, but my understanding is his position just in the last couple of days has changed, and that if we don't get $6 billion or $15 billion from the federal government in additional aid, tax hikes on people making $5 million a year or more would be raised by the legislature and with his signature. Do I have that correct? Has his position changed on that?
Yeah, you have that. No. I mean, that's what he has said. You know, I mean, I think the caller was asking what my position was, regardless of, you know, so I wanted to make it clear that sure. I believe that we are in, you know, a position to ask more of those who have more, in addition to asking our federal government to step up. I think, you know, the governor kind of feels like, well, if they step up, then maybe we shouldn't do this or that. I think we have to have a more progressive tax structure. And again, I think we are in a position to, because we are New York and because we, you know, have so much to invest in and so much to rebound from, but we will be able to do it. We should also create a structure that makes sense going forward that will continue to solidify and fortify what we consider to be priorities, such as education, such as the environment, such as, you know, housing. So there are things that we have to do, and I believe we have the resources and the responsibility to do it.
Have you crunched the numbers on the pushback argument that always comes on raising the so-called millionaire's tax? The critics say wealthy people are already leaving New York in the pandemic. And if New York City gets hiked to the highest combined city and state income tax in the country, and of course that's just in the city, the tax will go up for people making a lot of money in the rest of the state too, but in the city it would be the highest combined income tax, state and city, under this proposal, around 14%, up 1 percentage point if you take in 5 million. 2 percentage points if you take in $100 million in 1 year. I mean, to regular people, I think that sounds very manageable at those income levels. If this is your home, it still leaves you with so much income. But if people paying that much in taxes really do flee to Florida or wherever, it theoretically could hurt state revenue more than help. Have you crunched those numbers to be confident that that won't happen?
Well, you know, again, I think that we go back to a couple of things. One is that nobody can predict what will happen, obviously, in this new environment. But we are hoping that New Yorkers who understand who we are as New Yorkers and our vitality, our ability, again, to rebound beyond when any other city can rebound, that they will, our millionaires and billionaires, continue to invest in New York and New Yorkers. So again, this is not punishing people because they are rich. It is looking at our reality as, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest state in the country and in the world, and what we can do to help people. I mean, we have, for example, just so people know, I mean, in 2019, there were 700,000 cases of unemployment filed. You know, from March of last year to January, there were 4.7 million claims for unemployment. So New Yorkers have been hit exceptionally hard. And because we have the ability through our people, which is our greatest asset, to rebuild, we are talking about having people who can do more pay more. So I'm hoping that they won't flee. I really want folks to look at it as doing something to help your fellow New Yorkers. That's number one. But yeah. Also, I have a revenue group that does these kind of number crunching. And so, you know, I'm not saying we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We are going to look very clearly and seriously at the numbers, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And, of course, we have partners in government. We're not independent. So we'll be working with the Assembly and with the governor in order to make this make sense. But, again, I think it's such an amazing opportunity to, you know, put our values to work, to show leadership in terms of that, as well as to bolster those things that we know need to be bolstered in order for people to succeed.
One more call. Desmond in Crown Heights. You're on WNYC with New York State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins. Hi, Desmond.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. You can give me my answers offline. I've got a few points. I'm very happy that Regent Lester Young Jr. has been appointed head of the Regents Board.
Yay.
But now we have the issue of the campaign for fiscal equity funds that have been sitting in judgment for more than a decade, and the fact that New York City is underfunded. I have a neighbor who just left the city to with his child because he wanted to get better education in your district. Then we need GIL programs for low-income youth so that they can have meaningful jobs that will pay a living wage and then contribute to the tax fisc of the state. And then you have, with the CFE, you have all the conservatives, white supremacists, and class-conscious conservatives who have derided the CFE fund for unfunded mandate.
And Desmond, I'm going to leave it there because we're about to lose the Senate Majority Leader because I know a Majority Leader, you have a heart out at 11 o'clock. So answer Desmond's questions to the best of your ability.
The best of my ability, says to Desmond, I am so grateful that he and so many others are looking at how we improve educational outcomes for our children. I'm very, very committed to investing in our children, and as I say all the time, there has never been a Senate majority that is more hyper-focused on education that will be quality education, not dependent on your zip code, but dependent on the appropriate investment. So we are fighting that fight together.
You did that so efficiently. I'm going to ask you one final question on something else that's in the news. You and the governor want recreational cannabis legalization. That was true last year, too, and you didn't have the votes. I see a headline on Cranes today that says Cuomo wants stiff tax on potent marijuana. Does that refer to certain strains that would be taxed higher than other strains? And in general, do you think you have the votes? I know we have about 30 seconds.
I think we have the votes. The devil, of course, in all of this is always in the detail. And so much of what we have been trying to do, in addition to making sure that we have an educational component around, you know, certainly drug use and, you know, abuse and all of that, is making sure that, again, communities, certainly communities of color, that have been disparately and negatively impacted by the unequal enforcement of these laws will get some benefit from not only the revenue, but the industry and being able to get, you know, business opportunities, et cetera. So we are trying to, you know, make it make sense for in all of these different ways. And I do believe that we have the votes.
Andrea Stewart-Cousins.
For the right, you know, for the right package.
State Senator from Westchester and the New York State Senate Majority Leader. Thank you very much. Keep coming on with us during the session. I know.
It's always good to talk to you and your audience.
Some listeners know, some
thank
don't.
You, Brian.
There's so much action every year between January and April 1st. So come on back as that's going on. Thank you so much.